Our message today is out of Emor, as we said, speaks. And as we look into this portion this week, there are some very major themes going on with it. And to me, chapter 23 is absolutely, in my mind, the most important chapter of this portion, might be the most important chapter in all of Leviticus, might be the most important chapter in all of Scripture. Because within chapter 23, it sets up God's timeline, Adonai's timeline, right there in one chapter. The things that are going to, the things that were, and the things that are going to be. It's very, very important. So let's take a brief look at the chapter. And it starts off with, you would think, it starts off with a feast, and it does. Shabbat. Now, a lot of people don't think of Shabbat as a feast. But by Adonai putting it into this chapter with the seven other feasts, he's elevating it to something even more special. Every one of these Shabbats, 52 of them every year, is elevated to a feast status. It's not just a day. It's not just a special day. It's a feast to the Lord. It's something extraordinary. We need to keep that in mind, even especially now. It's not just another day. I know these days are starting to blend in together, and they all seem the same for a lot of us who are stuck at home. They all get to seem the same until Shabbat comes, and then what happens? Our energy is so low that it's just Shabbat. No, it's Shabbat. So I encourage you, give Shabbat the importance that it requires, that it deserves. All right, then it goes to Passover. And Passover is that time that we know blood was spilled to save the Israelites while they were in Egypt. It's also aligns with the time blood was spilled by Yeshua to save the people of the world. So we see that parallel for us there. Right after Passover is the Feast of Unleavened Bread, which correlates, of course, to Yeshua's burial after his death on the stake, followed by first fruits, which was originally spoken of as the early harvest, but it also speaks to us of Yeshua's resurrection. Because Yeshua is the first fruits of all man. And we will see the resurrection at the right time. First fruits are Sefirat HaOmer, which we are currently in. The counting of the Omer. The 49 days between unleavened bread and the time that we call Shavuot, Feast of Weeks, Pentecost. That's the next holiday on God's timeline. Shavuot, Pentecost, it's a time not only do we get the Torah on Mount Sinai, but the Ruach HaKodesh in Acts after Yeshua's death and resurrection. Now these, of course, are the four spring feasts, the ones that have already prophetically been fulfilled by Yeshua. And the scripture goes on to tell us of the three fall feasts. And the thing that's important is we've seen the four spring feasts already fulfilled, and therefore we can have confidence that the three fall feasts will also be fulfilled. So let's see what they are. Rosh Hashanah, or the blowing of the shofar, New Year, lines up with the time of preparation, when the world will see what they call the regathering or the second coming. It's the time that the Lamb's book of life was opened. And we all hope to be written into that Lamb's book of life, right? And we know that if we're dependent upon Yeshua, we will be. If we believe in Yeshua as our Messiah, we will be. Next, just a little bit after that, Yom Kippur, the Day of Atonement. It's that day that Yeshua will make his return. It's said the day that the Lamb's Book of Life will be closed. And those who are in it, and those who are not. Those who are in it have life everlasting. Those who are not will be separated from God eternally. And that final feast is Tabernacles, the Feast of Tabernacles, Festival of Booths, Sukkot. It's a time where all this comes together and we will be with Adonai before his throne continuously. This is Adonai's timeline. It's what has happened and it's what will happen. It's also a very good time for us, as we read this Torah portion, to ask, whose timeline are we keeping? Because every day we live out a timeline. Every day our life progresses and we follow a timeline. But we have to ask, whose timeline are we following? Because the things that we want to happen are not necessarily the things Adonai is going to allow to happen. Well, the time that we want things to happen is not necessarily the timing of Adonai's. And I'm not even talking about just the feasts. This is everything, every day. Maybe now we think it's the perfect time for that new job. Of course, now we believe is the perfect time for the virus to go away. Maybe it's his time, maybe it's not his timeline. We need to be on his timeline. Because when we're on his timeline, we can sit back and we can just kind of rest in him. Release our worries to him. You know, it wasn't that long ago, we all had different timelines, right? Now the days run together. How can we tell if we're on his timeline? Or a better question would be, how can we tell if we trust Adonai completely so that we're on his timeline? Because following his timeline in our daily lives means trusting in him. We no longer have to worry when we follow his timeline. We no longer have to worry when we're doing what he wants us to do. So, are we living his timeline? Are we filling ourselves with worry, or are we releasing it to him? Well, I have 7 steps for you today on how to decrease your worry and release it to him. 7 steps. First is the most obvious. Trust in Adonai. Trust him. How do we trust him? I always find that trust comes with experience. The more we experience with Adonai, the more we have faith in what he's doing, the more we can trust in what he's doing. And how do we gain this experience with Adonai? Well, part of it is just living, and part of it is by reading scripture and seeing what other men in the past have gone through. So, By reading Scripture, we can gain that experience because their experience is our experience as well. So I read about King David and the trust he had in Adonai. And by hearing about his victory and his trust, it builds up my trust and my faith as well. So let's look at Psalm 56. Psalm 56, 2 through 5, or 1 through 4. 2 through 5 if you're in the Hebrew Scriptures. Otherwise, it's 1 through 4. And it says, this is David after while being chased. David says, "Be gracious to me, O God, for man has crushed me. Fighting all day, he oppresses me. My foe tramples me all day. For many are fighting me arrogantly. In a day when I am afraid, I will put my trust in you. In God, I keep praising his word. In God, I trust. I will not fear. What can mere flesh do to me?" David knew Adonai came through for him in the past. So he comes back to him again. And how does he come back to him again? Not only does he come back to him in trust. Verse 5 says, "In God I keep praising his word." He comes back praising who Adonai is, praising the acts of the past, praising what's going to happen, in trusting who Adonai is. Rav Shaul, the Apostle Paul, also gives a great example of trusting in Adonai. In 1 Timothy 4, starting in verse 17, he tells us his trust that he has in Adonai as well. So, starting in 17, 1 Timothy 4, 17. "But the Lord stood by me and strengthened me, so that through me the message might be proclaimed in full measure, and all the nations might hear, and I was rescued from the lion's mouth. The Lord will rescue me from every evil deed, and will deliver me safely into his heavenly kingdom. To him be the glory forever and ever. Amen." We see the same thing as David when Rav Shaul goes to the Lord. He's giving his testimony. He's giving what he's known in the past. He's delivered him from the lion's mouth in the past. He will rescue him from every deed. He's rescued the Israelites from the lion's mouth, from the many enemies who have chased after him. He will do it again. We are part of Israel. We have been saved in the past. These are just two examples in Scripture of men who have trusted Adonai. But we know others who have trusted in Adonai as well and had victories. And they're right here in our congregation. Look around and you will hear stories of victory after victory after victory, of trust, of faith within our own congregants. That's why we come together as well, to help build each other up. That's why during these times it's important to keep in touch with each other so that we can remind each other. Go back to Scripture. Look what the Lord has done for them. Look what the Lord has done for me. Keep encouraging each other to trust in Adonai. That's the first thing. Second, approach in prayer. And this is not to say just approach him when things are going wrong. No, we're supposed to always be in prayer with him. Always in that constant communication with him. Look at Ephesians 6:18 and what it says about prayer. Ephesians 6:18. "Pray in the Ruach on every occasion, with all kinds of prayers and requests. With this in mind, keep alert with perseverance and supplication for all the Keshedim." It says, pray for on every occasion, regardless of what's going on around us. Big things, small things. Bring it up to the Lord in prayer. Needs, and maybe just praise reports. Bring it up to the Lord in prayer. Keep that line of communication open with the Lord at all times. Look at the example in Daniel in chapter 6. Starting in verse 10, Daniel 6:10. Now, while Daniel learned that a written decree had been issued, he went into his house, where the windows in his upper room opened towards Jerusalem. Three times a day he knelt down, prayed, and gave thanks before his God, just as he did before. Daniel had heard a decree that the king had given out, and it was not favorable. He went for prayer. He went into prayer. But it was nothing new for Daniel. It says, three times a day he knelt down, prayed, and gave thanks before the God, just as he did before. Just as he was in the habit of doing every day. It didn't matter whether things were good or bad. He did it every day. He didn't need to change what he was doing because something terrible was happening. Oh, I need to change my habits. No, he was already in the habit of meeting with God, not just daily, multiple times every day. He didn't just come with his requests, right? It says three times a day he knelt down, prayed, and gave thanks before his God. I think we've heard this before. Rav Shaul said that. King Solomon said that. King David said that. They all said it because it's true. We come to him with thanks. We come to him with praise. And we come to him with our requests, regardless of the size, because he's such a big God, there's nothing he can't handle. It's not only that he's such a big God, there's nothing too big for him to handle. He's such a great God, there's nothing too small for him to handle. You know, I've heard people come up and ask for prayer, and they say, I know this isn't big. Maybe I shouldn't even bring it up. No, every single one of these requests is important to Adonai, to Yeshua and the Ruach HaKodesh. It's just that my dog is sick. It's a creature of the Lord. I'll pray on that. He'll listen to that and he'll act on that. I need a car. You know, it's not the most important. It is to him. Can't guarantee what answer he has, because maybe he's teaching you something. Maybe he's bringing you to something. Maybe the timing is so that you have to wait on something, but it's important to him. Bring the big things, bring the small things. Bring the praise, bring the thanks. Bring the testimonies, bring it all before him. Amen. So that's the first two things. Trust him and approach him in prayer. The third thing to do is take stock in yourself. Each of us needs to know where we are spiritually. Because if we don't take stock in ourselves every once in a while, we can just find ourselves slipping backwards without even realizing it. So you need to look into your own heart and ask, where am I in the Lord? Am I where I'm supposed to be? Am I doing the things I'm supposed to be? And that's not an easy thing to do. There are some dark corners in each of our hearts. I know that. And our hearts can be very deceptive, even to ourselves, without a doubt. So look what King David did in Psalm 139:23. Look how he searches his heart. Psalm 139, starting in 23. Search me, O God, and know my heart. Examine me and know my anxious thoughts, and see if there be any offensive way within me, and lead me in the way everlasting. David asked the Lord to look at his heart. You know, he was looking at it beforehand. David was looking at his own heart beforehand, but now he's asking the Lord to help him look into his heart. Because our hearts are deceptive, even to ourselves. We don't want to admit certain things, even to ourselves. There are places we just don't want to go, even within our own heart. So we ask the Lord, Ruach HaKodesh, shine that light in my heart. Show me things that I need to see. Show me ways that shouldn't be there that I can work on to get out of my own heart. All right, so that's take stock. Number four, look forward, but don't forget the past. We're called as a people to have faith, to trust Adonai, and to know that by faith in the blood that we've been cleansed. But it doesn't mean that we should forget the things of the past. Because if we forget, two things happen. First of all, you know the saying, those who forget the past are doomed to relive it again and again. And the second thing is, if we don't remember the past, then we forget what Adonai has done for us. Even during the times that we've been in sin, he's cleansed us and picked us up out of it. And that's why we're told in Deuteronomy 32, starting in 7. Deuteronomy 32, 7. Remember the days of iniquity. Understand the years across generations. Ask your fathers and he will tell you, your elders, and they will say to you. We're told to remember the days of old and to ask our fathers even what happened. When they tell the truth, even they'll have to admit there were mistakes that were made. But there was love of Adonai that brought us through it all. If we don't remember, no, you're going to do it again. If we don't remember the Lord's love, no, it's harder to depend upon it. It's harder to have faith. It's harder to trust. So, there are things we have to remember, all these things that happen to us. But there are things we should be letting go of the past as well. Let go of the hurts. Let go of those pains. Let go of the condemnation. Let go of the things that would drag us back to the past. But remember the love of Adonai that pulls us out of that. Amen. All right, so we've had trust him, approach in prayer, take stock, look forward, but remember. And next we have accept his timing. Just like the timeline in Leviticus 23, we accept that and we look forward to the things that are going to happen. Accept God's timeline. Because I can tell you one thing about timing. His timing is his timing. And his timing is always perfect. Because that's what we have, a perfect God. Now, it may not line up with our timing. It may not line up with the way we want things to go. But know that his timing is perfect and always for our good. It may be to teach us something as opposed to just give us something. Because you know how we are. We just want to receive. He wants to give, but he wants to teach us as well. So, Let's take a look at Acts 1, 6 and 7. This is after Yeshua's resurrection and he's come back to the disciples. So when they gathered together, they asked him, the disciples asked Yeshua, "Lord, are you restoring the kingdom to Israel at this time?" He said to them, "It is not your place to know the times or seasons which the Father has placed under his own control." Now, of course, they all wanted the timeline to be now, 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 now. Of course, they wanted the eternal kingdom to come down right then. But that was not the Lord's timeline. They didn't even want to wait one more day. Not the Lord's timeline. And so it is with us as well many times. You know, we all want the world to be, the kingdom to be restored. We all want to see his coming again. We want it to be soon. But he says, wait. Because he knows what's good for the world. In 1 Peter, we're told that we need to know that he knows what the right time is. 1 Peter 5, 6, and 7. "Therefore, humble yourself under the mighty hand of God, so that he may lift you up at the appropriate time. Cast all your worries on him, for he cares for you." The appropriate time, because Adonai cares for you. And look at that word. It says he cares for you personally. If it was just for you, he would have been up on the stake anyway. Just for you. His timeline that he has for your life is perfect for you. May not feel it all the time, but it is. So we need to trust in his timeline. We need to know that things happen when they happen for a purpose, and they're his purposes. That's waiting on the Lord. That's trusting him. And that's our next step. Wait on the Lord. By accepting his timing, it means accepting that we need to wait on the Lord. Knowing that his timing is perfect is the reason we wait on the Lord. We wait because we have faith in his plan. We have faith in who he is and what he knows. Faith because we know that there'll be everlasting life and victory when we wait on the Lord. But we wait not just for that end time. We wait for the events in our life as well. For just as his timing is perfect for that second coming, it's perfect for each one of us as well as the things that occur in our lives. Ecclesiastes 3:1:1. "For everything there's a season and a time for every activity under heaven." And then, you know, we all know that because we know the song by the birds and we know the scripture. It lists everything under the sun that can happen, it seems. But there's a time for everything. His time for everything. You know, many of us know that Yiddish saying, "Man plans and God laughs." It's because he's the one in control. He's not laughing at us. He's laughing because we should know by now he's in control and he has our best interest in his heart. If we give him the control, and we wait on him, then we know that we're walking in His steps, on His path, the one that's straight and narrow, that'll lead to Him, and that'll lead us into the best that He has to offer for us. So much of our own planning is also tied into timing as well. So let's take a look at Habakkuk 2, verse 2 and 3. Then Adonai answered me and said, write down a vision, make it plain on the tablet so that the reader may run with it. For the vision is yet for an appointed time. It hastens to the end and will not fail. If it should be slow in coming, wait for it, for it will surely come. It will not delay. We think things aren't happening because they're being delayed. We think things are going to, should be happening, and why we're just standing around. It will happen at the appointed time, the perfect appointed time, Adonai's appointed time. It will not delay. He's given us, just like He's given us the appointed times in chapter 23 of Leviticus, He has appointed times in our lives too. And they will happen at the right time if we trust and wait on the Lord. You know, you've heard me say it before. I was not a young man when I went into full-time ministry. I thought it was going to happen a couple of years before that. But it wasn't the perfect time. It wasn't the right time. Could I have even imagined at that point that there would be a congregation established in Savannah, that it had my name on it, that I should be here for it? I couldn't even imagine. But it was the right time in Adonai's timeline for things to fall in place. Amazing, just amazing things that just had to happen at the right time. And it all did happen because it was His appointed time. And because we waited and we didn't try to force things. So we've had trust Him, approach in prayer, take stock in yourself, look forward and remember, accept His timing, wait on Him, and finally, be in service to the Lord. Now, service and waiting on the Lord can be very closely related, because there really are two kinds of waiting on the Lord. Before I get to the service of the Lord, what I mean to say here is that waiting on the Lord sometimes really is just wait on the Lord. Psalm 37, verse 7. Be still before Adonai and wait patiently for Him. Do not fret over one prospering in this way, over one carrying out wicked schemes. He's telling us, just wait. Just hold on. Just be still. Just know I've got this. Just, there are times that we just have to wait. That's it. Just wait. It's like being at a bus stop. Just wait for it to come. You sit there, you try to be patient, you kill some time until the bus comes. It's just so that the bus can take you someplace. We just have to sit there patiently waiting for the bus to come. We just have to patiently wait for Adonai to come, say that it's the right time, and then move us. But this is not the only kind of waiting that we do on Adonai. In fact, most of the time, it's not the kind of waiting that we do for Adonai. We as believers are called to be waiters. We're called to be waiters. And what's it like to be a waiter in a restaurant? We're servicing the person we're waiting on. We're doing for the person we're waiting on. You know, and it's the person that we're waiting on who gets to call the shots. He may look at us and say, "So what do you recommend? What looks good on the menu?" But he's the one who ultimately makes the decision what you're going to bring to him. So we wait on the Lord. And we may make recommendations, but he's the one who's ultimately going to decide what we bring to him. And we need to have an ear to listen to him. Isaiah 30:18. Therefore, Adonai is longing to be gracious to you. Thus he will be exalted, so he may have mercy on you. For Adonai is a God of justice. Blessed are all who wait on him. For all who wait on him. Now at the beginning it said, therefore Adonai is longing to be gracious to you. That word longing in Hebrew is chacha, which is defined as to wait or tarry. So not only do we wait on the Lord waits on us. He waits for us. He waits for the world to be ready for his coming again. He waits for those who are supposed to have salvation to be there for with him. And we show faith in the Lord, not by our actions only, with our hands, but by waiting on him, by being still before him. These are all ways that we service the Lord as well, by waiting on him. Sometimes the waiting is just sitting. Sometimes the waiting is going to grab things for him and bring him things. Both are service to the Lord. So if you're in that period of time where you're told, wait, be still. Don't worry, you're still in service to the Lord. Just as much as the person who's told, wait on the Lord, go do this. He's waiting on the Lord. He's being a waiter to the Lord. Both are in service to the Lord. The Torah points out that it's by faith that Abraham listened to Adonai and it was accredited to him as righteousness. He waited until, think of the time that the three angels came before Sodom and Gomorrah. He waited, they came. He then waited to provide. And that was credited to him. When he was at his father's house and in Haran, and the Lord told him to leave. That was another form of waiting on him, doing what he was told to do. So when we follow the examples of the Old Covenant by accepting and understanding the prophecies, that we are acting in righteousness that brings salvation. It's by accepting the Messiah Yeshua because he was told to us within the Torah that we find salvation before Adonai. It's by accepting the blood of the old covenant that we're waiting on the Lord, by accepting who he is. And that's counted to us as righteousness. we need to be people who learn how to wait on the Lord. To know the difference when we should be moving like, you know, crazy and doing all the things He tells us to do. And maybe to be just still. Maybe He's given us the plan but hasn't given us the timing yet. We need to wait on the Lord. And when we learn to do these things, these seven things that I've listed off, trusting in Him, approaching in prayer, taking stock in ourselves, looking forward but remembering the past, accepting His timing, waiting on Him and serving Him, it will be counted as righteousness to us. And it will lessen our worries. And it will grow our faith. And we will have joy in the Lord. These are the things we need to practice here and now in order to be ready for Him. We need to practice them here and now in order to make the here and now just that much easier and joyful. Because if we have all this worry on our shoulders, we're not going to be joyful. We have all this worry bogging us down, slowing us down. How can we keep up with the Lord when He tells us to move? So I say, listen, follow, understand, trust Him, approach Him in prayer, look into yourself, remember, accept His timing, His waiting, servicing on Him, and knowing that all things work for good for those who trust in Adonai. Amen. Father, we thank You that You are the one that we can trust in, and Your Word tells us how to trust in You. Your Word tells us to approach You in prayer. Your Word tells us about Your timing and how perfect it is. So, Father, I'm just asking now that You help each and every one who hears this message to be able to put off worries. Lay them at the foot of Your throne. Open their hands and not pick them back up. That they can just wait on You. For You to tell them when to move. And to know that when they move, they're not to reach back for those worries again. For You will take care of them. We thank You that You are a mighty God who can handle every single worry in the world of every single person in the world. And yet, my worry and everybody's worry is just as important to You. You care for each one of us. You love each one of us so much that You sent Your Son to die for us. So much that Your Son sent the Ruach HaKodesh back to us. So much that the Ruach HaKodesh helps us in our everyday life, in our everyday worries. So we thank You for that which You have done for us in our lives. Regardless of what's going on around us, we praise and honor and glorify You forever and ever. Amen and amen.